As you drive the interstates, highways, streets, and even dirt roads here in South Carolina, there's one structure you will eventually see every so many miles, a house of worship. Some began their existence as ornate drawings inspired by architects. Others began as simple brush arbors, hand-tied by inspired volunteers. But they've all had one thing in common, the faith of their congregants. And it's faith that is the driving force behind one small group of people whose big aim is to restore those houses of worship that have now fallen into disrepair. Mike Biedenbaugh is the executive director of Preservation South Carolina and has been so for over 10 years. He's a man on a mission to return the former glory of those sacred spaces that are beginning to crumble and, without intervention, may be lost forever. So where did Biedenbaugh's passion for preservation begin?
I grew up at the knee of my grandmother telling me the history of prosperity where I grew up. I learned very early that place matters. And it really came home to me when I was in the Navy. I served the Navy for 5 years in the 80s. And it was during that time that I realized how much I love my home of South Carolina. In fact, I actually picked the ship. I picked the USS South Carolina for me to serve on. My family's been here for 250 years, and I feel an obligation as a citizen to help ensure that its story is told through the buildings that were inspired by the people who built them.
Right now, Biedenbaugh's focus is on the town of Abbeville, more specifically on Trinity Episcopal Church. At the time Trinity was conceived, the residents of Abbeville were experiencing an agricultural and economic boom. Spirits were high, and visions of the future were optimistic. George Walker was a young architect and engineer in the mid-1800s. He started his early work in Charleston, designing several educational structures throughout the South, and eventually made his way to Columbia, helping with the design of the South Carolina State House. Shortly after, Walker was drawn to the town of Abbeville.
This whole church's history has been rooted in the concept of aspiration. When these folks were sitting here, there are 27, 29 members, I'm convinced George Walker came down here with the intention of communicating to them that they deserve the best that they could have. And this church represents the highest Gothic architecture that would be available to anybody outside of Charleston or Columbia, where you would expect to see a structure like this. And George Walker was able to communicate to them and inspire in them that they deserve this place. And it worked. As soon as they built it, their congregation grew to 90-something members within a few years.
George Walker had a vision for Abbeville, something that no rural town in South Carolina had ever seen before. So what does Mike Biedenbaugh believe was the source of Walker's vision?
Walker worked with a gentleman named Edward Brickell White, which was one of the leading architects in South Carolina in the 1830s, 1840s. And Edward Brickell White was one of the founding members of the New York Ecclesiological Society. And that society was formed in the 1850s for one purpose, and that was to create a aesthetic in the spiritual life of America, in its architecture, to create an uplifting sense of spirit. And they believed Gothic architecture was the true Christian architecture. And in a world where most of these places in rural South Carolina were just small little wooden box meeting houses, or even the big churches that were in Charleston were really rooted in Greek concepts, the classical concepts from Greek and Roman architecture, the ecclesiologists saw that as not true Christian architecture. They believed that for true Christian architecture, you had to draw people's eyes to the heavens. And Gothic architecture was that. And they wanted to put this into the society for a better society.
Richard Upjohn was a prominent architect of the time, famous for his Gothic-style designs.
So Edward Brickell White met with Upjohn. Upjohn, who designed Trinity in New York, was in close connection with Brickell White and Walker. And in fact, Edward Brickell White went to New York to visit Upjohn and to confer on building Trinity, Upjohn came down here and he actually worked with Brickell White in designing Graniteville, the Graniteville Mills in what is in Aiken County now. So we know that Walker was in those circles. And I'm convinced that Walker, when he came here, I'm convinced he showed him. There's a wonderful 1850s print of Trinity in New York. And I'm convinced that he stood at the head of this street and showed these people, this is what you deserve.
But the optimism and growth the people of Abbeville were experiencing was soon about to come crashing down.
Well, Trinity being built in 1859, at the height of the wealth of the community, happened to be a year before war was declared in the Civil War, and the people who helped build this place pretty much lost all their wealth. So the ability to maintain this magnificent structure started being a challenge from the get-go.
The challenges weren't only within Abbeville's Trinity Episcopal Church, but across the nation. And they hit South Carolina much sooner than many other states. Mike Biedenbaugh explains.
Yeah, depression came earlier in South Carolina due to two things, the boll weevil and the end of World War I, where cotton was dumped after the federal government didn't need cotton anymore, dumped it on the market. And so we had in the South, our depression was hit then in 2021. And the loss of opportunity, the loss of available capital, the well-to-do families that were here, it was also a drive for urbanization. So a lot of these folks with better transportation, railroad and cars, they headed to the larger cities around, to Columbia, to Greenville. And so the church lost some of its foundational population to help support it. Some of these folks came back after World War II and helped to attract the attention back it needed again to rebuild the congregation, and they did that. The Portland cement, which is the common cement now that you use, it's the gray Portland cement, and that's what every mason uses now to put bricks together. Unfortunately, it has a devastating effect on historic masonry, historic bricks, and the old lime mason. So it seals it up so badly that the church isn't allowed, the building isn't allowed to breathe, and what tends to happen is it tends to start sloughing it off. And if you look at the church now, you'll see places where it's literally falling off, and it's a hazard to be around the church.
As Mike Biedenbaugh in Preservation South Carolina went about considering how to repair and restore Abbeville's Trinity Episcopal Church, another South Carolinian, author Bill Fitzpatrick, was on his own personal journey to explore, photograph, and chronicle forgotten landmarks across the state. Eventually, Fitzpatrick's travels would cause his path to cross that of Mike Biedenbaugh's.
These less traveled landmarks, all of which were on the National Register, were stunning, evocative, and forgotten about. So I kept on traveling. I photographed over 400 landmarks in Upper South Carolina, went to Columbia, the Midlands area, did another 400. And I thought, well, Bill, you really can't stop now. So I finished the rest of the state photographing 1,200 landmarks. About halfway into this strange journey, I came to love the churches. I came to love the churches and temples. Not so much, they're beautiful in downtown Charleston, Columbia, and Greenville, Spartanburg, but those, like here in Trinity, Abbeville, other ones, the little white clapboards we all pass on the road in the country, and they all catch our breath, don't they? Every last one of them will make you stop and think, who was here? What happened to them? Where'd they go? And so I went back and started photographing those on a more intentional basis. And along the way, I'd meet these people, these small number of people, congregants perhaps, that felt connected to this place. And so you might have this church built in 1810 on the historic register, and two or three people looking after it. And they were reaching into their own pockets to do that. Maybe for a coat of paint, maybe for a new roof, maybe they'd cut the grass. And I felt like their stories were compelling, and it shouldn't be so hard to preserve these places that are deserving of being preserved. So I met, say, 10, 15 people like that across the state, and I decided that their stories were worth sharing. So I contacted the National Trust for Historic Preservation, introduced myself, and said, I have some South Carolina stories for you. It's about people who are reaching into their own pockets to make a difference on things that would otherwise be lost. Would you like my stories? I said, sure. So for 1 year, I wrote the stories of these 12 people that I met. Different congregations, African Americans, Jewish, Anglican, Presbyterian, and of course, the story here at Trinity Abbeville. So I made a single copy coffee table book that sat on our living room table for a year, or a little over a year. And we'd have guests over and people would say, "This is gorgeous. What are you going to do with this?" Because I told the story of South Carolina pretty much through the stories of these churches. About a year later, when the coffee table book was still sitting around, I came across Mike Biedenbaugh's name in Preservation South Carolina. Back then, he was very active in Trinity Episcopal. And it came to me. I thought, well, here's an opportunity. I can give back what I received a little bit, because what I received was just tremendous when I traveled among the back roads. So I contacted Mike. We met in Spartanburg. And I said, this 264-page coffee table book is yours if you'd like to have it. And so Mike enthusiastically shook my hand and said, we have a deal. That's terrific. And I think we have a shared interest in helping save these places. Let's get started.
Having visited so many sacred spaces in South Carolina, what especially drew author Bill Fitzpatrick to Abbeville's Trinity Episcopal Church?
Trinity is very unique in the sense it's a very small town. Abbeville has a population of about 5,000 people. Yet you have this grand sacred space at the end of Trinity Street that captures your mind, imagination. It draws you in. There's no other church like it in any other small town in South Carolina, and I've traveled tens of thousands of miles. There are gems, there are beauties, there are impressive collections, but nothing like Abbeville. This church centers a town, is a center of community life, and its historic features are just so compelling. We can't lose this church. You know, when I heard the story about Notre Dame being lost to fire and the grieving that is taking place today, not only in France but around the world, I would feel the same if Trinity Abbeville was lost.
Not unlike France's Notre Dame, Abbeville's Trinity Episcopal Church has some rare treasures of its own. Preservation South Carolina's Mike Biedenbaugh begins with the interior.
One is the windows. We have one of the largest collections of William Gibson stained glass windows in the country. William Gibson was a window maker out of New York and New Jersey, I think his studio was. And we have several, the chancel window here came out of that studio, as well as two or three others. We also have some wonderful, where they took paper and put on the windows. And that was usually used for the purposes of temporary, until someone could sponsor a nice stained glass window. Well, these two windows never were sponsored. So we have the original paper cut that was applied and using starch to apply it on there. We don't know how many of those are even left in South Carolina. So we're really proud that those are still existing here. We have two of those. And the other part is the John Baker organ. John Baker was an organ maker that worked under Henry Urban. And Henry Urban was a very famous organ maker in New York. He's the one, he put in the organ in Trinity at Wall Street, as well as one in St. Patrick's Cathedral. In fact, I think it's the largest tracker organ still working is in St. Patrick's in New York right now on Fifth Avenue. John Baker worked with him. And John Baker came down to Charleston to help install Urban organs in Charleston, which the Huguenot Church has an Urban organ. And so John Baker set up his own shop and started making organs. And he put organs in all over the country. And we know we have records of in Ohio, in New York, and here in South Carolina. They are magnificent engineering pieces of machinery that just to look and see how they worked is just absolutely incredible. They were the computer of the day. They were the most complex pieces of instrument that this church would have bought. But they fell out of favor relatively quickly with electricity, and a lot of them were replaced. So this one is still here. It was still working up until 2004, and it is one of only two that remains left in the country that John Baker made. And all the components are there, and that's part of the restoration we're going to have, because we believe that that organ is the voice of this sacred space, and we want to bring that back too. But the 125-foot tall steeple is the thing that has to be the emergency intervention. When it was designed, it was, we believe, the fourth tallest structure in South Carolina. We still believe it's the tallest steeple in rural South Carolina, definitely, and probably in rural Southeast. It's a magnificent engineered piece of architecture that deserves to be saved.
As the condition of Abbeville's Trinity Episcopal Church goes, so goes the economy of Abbeville itself. Paige Belzer is a business owner. whose retail store has sat directly across the street from Trinity. The roots of her family grow deep in the soil of Abbeville.
My family settled here in 1795. Our family's been here forever. My great-grandfather was a judge and a senator, and Trinity was, of course, being a fixture in Abbeville, something that they held near and dear to their hearts. Being close to the church was wonderful when I first opened the business because I got so much foot traffic from it because people would show up to come and see our beautiful church. And then they'd come in and talk and shop, and I thought, wow, I've got it made. Because the church gets so much foot traffic, I will get foot traffic. And it was true for a few months, but then because of the structure of the church, they closed it, and then people quit sending visitors down to see the church, and so traffic slowed, and I thought, oh, I'm in trouble. But our wonderful community has been very supportive of me, and so that's why I know that it's important for businesses to support structures like this, because it's a part of one community that can work together and help have a thriving economy. Our historic structures in Abbeville are very important to our tourism and economy, and so, you know, if Trinity asks for something, if there's an event we can hold or a fundraiser we can help with, we will absolutely rise to the occasion.
Preservation South Carolina's Mike Biedenbaugh has full faith in Paige Bowser's declaration.
This place reflects the best of what people can be. You know, when George Walker was able to convince these folks that they deserved this. They deserve this magnificent structure in their little tiny town in the backcountry of South Carolina. It touches something into the soul that is universal. And to see a place like that fall into a disrepair, it's worthy of the intention again, because it will help inspire a future that doesn't exist right now, for this place to be filled again, and we're confident it will. Intention attracts other intention, and so that's why this is so important. It's not about just the masonry of this place, it's about rebuilding a community and inspiring other sacred spaces all over the state that they can be rebuilt as well. The state is under a chronic assault of negligence on its sacred spaces, small churches emptying all over the state. This we see as a potential catalyst for the conversation of why they matter and why that should come back to all these communities, not only Abbeville.
Keep your eye on the steeple of Trinity Episcopal Church. A miracle awaits. For South Carolina Public Radio in Abbeville, I'm Linda Nunez.